Now, Howard Ellis, part-time safety director of the Smith Manufacturing Company, has a few notes on protective equipment for fingers, palms, and hands. Let's have them, Howard.
Okay, Chief. Let's start with fingers. Sometimes, as in this illustration, complete gloves are not necessary. For here, the hazard is finger cuts from handling small, sharp objects. Protectors for one or more fingers are available, and the choice depends upon the job. The material may be asbestos, rubber, duct, leather, plastics, or metal mesh, depending, of course, on the type of work. Hand pads, in this case made of asbestos because the steel is hot, offer good protection under certain conditions. Pads made of leather are more suitable for handling heavy objects, such as castings, bricks, and lumber. Steel reinforcement of the pads may sometimes be necessary. Workers who handle hot material, rough or sharp objects, acids, alkalis, or solvents, and any live electrical equipment need gloves suited to the job. Gloves, need I mention it, should never be worn at all around moving machinery. Specially made and electrically tested rubber gloves, worn under other gloves of leather to prevent wire punctures, must be worn by linemen and electricians who work on energized or high-voltage equipment. The rubber gloves should be given a daily visual inspection and air test. In addition to these precautions, which foremen should require, linemen's rubber gloves should be given periodic electrical tests to make sure that they are up to standard. The slightest weakness may be fatal. In handling chemicals, well, that's another story. But generally, the safe practice is long rubber gloves with the sleeve worn down over the cuff of the glove.
Thanks much, Howard. Now let's consider the protection of wrists and arms, quite important in many occupations. Sheet metal workers need such protection against cuts and bruises. Arc welders need leather or other fireproof wrist and arm protectors to prevent burns. And I could give many other examples. But let's turn to head protection. Protective hats and caps are needed by men in certain operations in lumbering, shipyards, and construction. Any fellow who's ever gotten a crack on the bean with a beam will vote yes on that.
You sure need a skull saver in the mining game, mister.
Yes, sir. You're 100% right. Maintenance men, riggers, repairmen, inspectors, and millwrights need head protection, too. Protection against prolonged noise, such as in boiler making or riveting, calls for another sort of head protection. Ear stoppels.
Say, I'd like to say a word or two about protection equipment for the feet and legs.
All right, Mr. Payne. You take the other end. We'll leave the head for a while.
Well, take metal foot guards, for instance. Now, they're mighty useful in operations where heavy materials are being handled, such as pig iron, heavy castings, and timber. It should be easy to adjust them or remove them. Then, safety shoes. Well, they include many types, but they all have one thing in common, and that's reinforced toes. Well, I can't think of even one industry where safety shoes are not needed, and foremen can sure cut down accidents by seeing to it that their men and women wear them all the time. Some men complain that their safety shoes hurt their feet. But safety shoes are just as comfortable as any other shoes, if they fit. The foreman can interest himself in seeing that his men's shoes are properly fitted. There are other types of foot protection. Wooden shoes, sandals, spats, boots, and metal insoles. And on jobs where they're needed, they should be worn.
Yes, and even heel guards, Mr. Payne, especially where sheet metal is handled. The choices in foot and leg protectors are widely diversified, but the type used depends naturally on the kind of work being done. Asbestos or leather should be used where molten metal, sparks, and heat are the hazard. Natural or synthetic rubber may be used where acids, alkalis, and hot water are encountered. In some operations, synthetic rubber is preferable. For the trunk of the body, you don't mind leaving the feet and legs now, do you, Mr. Payne?
No, I had my say.
Fine. Well, for the trunk of the body, aprons of various materials are often used. This man, a packing plant worker, needs full body protection against razor-edged knives and cleavers. Around moving machinery, aprons should fit snugly, and the waist and neck straps should be made with light strings or snaps that will immediately break if the garment is caught. Fire-resisting duck, leather, or wool may be used by men engaged in gas or electric welding, cutting, and similar operations. Workers around electrical apparatus require special equipment. For example, rubber or extra heavy shoes with wooden pegged or sewn soles and heels. And of course, there should be no metal fittings on shoes. And of course, none on the clothing. Now, Cliff Randall, our consulting safety engineer, has a word or two on respiratory equipment.
I'll have to be brief. In the most commonly used respirator, the air is drawn through filter pads which stop the dust particles. Special types of filters are used for poisonous dust, fumes, and mists. They do not provide protection against gases, vapors, or a lack of oxygen. For protection against gases, you must use a canister gas mask, which contains chemicals that neutralize harmful gases. Some gas masks furnish protection against only a single gas, like ammonia or carbon monoxide. Others protect against specified combinations of gases and vapors. And there is one type, the universal, which protects against all ordinary industrial gases and vapors. Remember, gas masks have definite limitations as to concentrations in which they may be used, and as to the length of time they will give effective service. So before the need arises, you should learn what kind of gas mask you may require, and also how to wear it. Read the instructions carefully, and make no mistakes. For light concentrations of vapors encountered in some operations, such as spray painting, chemical cartridge respirators may be used. These should never be used as a substitute for a canister gas mask. There are cases where the kinds of gas and dust exposure are unknown, or where there may not be enough air to support life. It could be fatal, of course, to use any chemical or filter respirator under those conditions. Safe protection is provided by the hose mask that supplies fresh, clean air through a hose leading to the facepiece. Life belts and lifelines are also needed, as well as an attendant to pull the men to safety in case of accident. Where fresh air cannot be supplied, as in rescue work, then a self-contained oxygen breathing apparatus is used. Another type, which has many applications, is the airline respirator. Air from compressed air lines or blowers is supplied to the mask. Remember, filters are worse than useless for gases and vapors. Chemical cartridges or canisters are good only for the gases specified, and neither filters nor cartridges are any good where there is lack of oxygen. Many men have been killed by depending upon the wrong kind of equipment. Use approved respiratory protective devices. The United States Bureau of Mines maintains a testing and approval service for all types of respiratory equipment. Approved products are suitably marked. Good management will make every effort to provide the best possible ventilation and exhaust. Respiratory equipment should be regarded as emergency apparatus or as supplemental to other methods of purifying the air. Certainly, the use of respirators should never be an excuse for permitting bad air conditions. Finally, regular cleaning and sterilizing of all kinds of respirators is essential for the protection of workers and the conservation of the equipment itself. Now, while I've got the floor, I'd like to say a word about safety belts. They should be inspected every day before they're used to make sure there are no defects. And you should see to it that none of the men cut extra holes in a belt or strap to make it fit. And if a belt gets cut accidentally, make sure it's turned in immediately. Incidentally, in these days of shortages of critical materials, it is especially important to prolong the life of protective equipment by good care. Then, save it for reprocessing after it is no longer usable. It's really up to you foremen to see to it that every employee has the right dress, that it's properly cared for, and that it's used all the time where hazards exist.
And that's mighty good advice, Mr. Randall. The men and women in the production army, without a single exception, must be instructed and supervised in what to wear, be it only more comfortable clothing or some special type of protective equipment. In this army, it's the foreman who give the command, right dress. It's one of the most important commands you'll ever give. Try it once.
Right dress.
Right dress.
Right dress.
Right dress.
Right dress.